Devin Nunez, California's 22nd Congressional District. How long have you been there?
Since 2003.
Is it everything you expected?
That and much more. So I never thought that, you know, I originally thought I would go there working on trade issues and agricultural issues and environmental issues as it relates to environmental extremism that we face in California. And I ended up spending the last 2.5 years chasing down a fake Russia hoax.
Wading through a lot of garbage and noise, from what I can tell. You get the pleasure of working with Adam Schiff on a regular basis. The Inspector General's report, the draft report, has now gone to the Attorney General's office for review. How long until we see that?
My guess it would take roughly about a month. I don't really know how long it is. And then they're going to have to look at what's classified and what they need to declassify, because I think the Attorney General is going to try to do like he did in the with the Mueller report, which was to get as much of it declassified as possible. I hope he does the same thing with the IG's report, because, of course, a FISA is by nature classified. So, you know, we've been fighting to have those pages, many of those pages redacted or unredacted, declassified. There's a lot of other documents that can be declassified, but I think all of that would be sooner the better if that happens.
Listening to one of your colleagues, Kevin McCarthy, he says he's quite sure that James Comey, Andy McCabe, and others are going to be held to account, finally. And for a lot of us out here, we look at the games, the shenanigans, the things that went on that are very serious. Mm-hmm. And we wonder, is anybody going to be held to account? Because after the first report, James Comey, pretty hard rebuke, but no real penalty, no trial, no charges.
Yeah.
Do you expect that to continue, or do you think Kevin McCarthy's right?
Well, the first thing that I tell everyone is you have to always be willing to fight and willing to use all the tools in the toolbox. So we so often, as Republicans and conservatives, you think that everybody plays by the rules. The reality is the left, not only have they not been playing by the rules, is, you know, they're more than willing to break the rules, and they're more than willing to use the courts. They're more than willing to use every bureaucracy to their advantage. It's kind of what they do as a party. They're for one party control. And as I said a little bit earlier, and I'll say it a little bit different way, things are more toxic now than they've ever been, right? So I said I've been spending 2.5 years on a fake Russia hoax. I mean, you would think when you have a country, when the intelligence agencies get used for anything political, there'd be some agreement. Somebody would admit, maybe we have a problem here, right? I mean, there sure might be one Democrat somewhere on the planet, right, that might say, this is probably not good. No, we're not getting that, because the party's becoming more and more extreme. And so, you know, we've been fighting through that. So to what the Republican leader has said, are they going to be held accountable? Only if we use every tool in the toolbox. It's not going to be, you know, Devin Nunes with one investigation, right? It's going to be all the pressure coming to bear from the executive branch, legislative branch, the courts, right?
Let me speculate a little bit.
We're going to have to take a lot of these things to court. We got to get the courts involved. It's the only way we're going to clean this mess up.
Let me speculate a little bit using some things that you've said about James Comey specifically. You've called him dirty on more than one occasion. I mean, you've said that.
Well, I think I've called the FBI, DOJ, I've called all of them dirty cops. Anybody who was involved in that conspiracy, dirty cops. And Comey, we now know from that report, we now have plenty of evidence that he was part of that cabal.
And you also
remember, before, I always say everybody was frustrated
sure
at that report that came out, nothing happened to him. I said, well, wait a second. The guy never answered any of our questions. So we didn't have one bit of evidence. Now, we knew it, common sense tells us, but we didn't have real evidence to what role Comey played, because Comey was always in denial that he knew anything. Remember, he came before us and said he didn't remember or didn't know, like, you know, hundreds of times, wouldn't answer any questions. The IG report gave us the evidence where there is no question that he was involved in the dirty cop cabal.
So let's go specifically then to January 6th, 2017,
mm-hmm,
the first time that James Comey meets the then president-elect Donald Trump and hangs back by himself, has a conversation, rushes out to his FBI vehicle and his FBI laptop, writes everything down, uses that later to share with the New York Times. Who directed him to do that? Who directed him to have that private conversation? Do you think it was his own volition, or do you think there's something else behind it?
Well, you know, judging from that report, it looks like he was in on the design of it. It was almost like he had volunteered himself up to be an agent, and it showed a lot closer relationship between him and the Crossfire Hurricane team, because that team was really being run out of Washington, which should have never have happened, right? They never should have used counterintelligence capabilities. And then you have both the deputy director McCabe and the director of the FBI essentially running point as the lead investigator to some degree, right? Going to talk to the president and go down and take notes. I mean, it's just unprecedented in U.S. history.
And they tried to
the matter, there were no Russians anywhere. I'm still looking for him. I haven't found him yet.
Well, keep looking. Clearly,
I don't think I'm going to find him.
The question is this. Did it run to the White House of Barack Obama? That's the question. Do you believe the former commander-in-chief, while in office, was using the intelligence community, weaponizing the intelligence community, to further the political goals of the Democrat Party?
So what do I have evidence for, right? In a court, there's what can you use to prosecute someone with? So what I know so far is that Comey and company briefed Loretta Lynch in the spring of 2016 on their Russia concerns. That's evidence. So those people would have to be interviewed, okay? You have someone at the White House was briefed by the Crossfire Hurricane team in August. We know that the president's chief of staff, McDonough, was. So those are two big pieces of evidence that we have. But at the end of the day, those aren't going to be enough to say whether or not they knew or not or didn't know. You're going to have to, this is where Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, he would have to go in and begin to interview to see what they knew and when they knew it.
And we believe John Durham is doing that. You've been involved with this for 2.5 years, as you said. Let me ask you, what does your gut tell you about how far up this went?
Well, you know, we've made criminal referrals. We've made 8 criminal referrals. And so 2 of them are on conspiracy. And it's very possible on both of those, because one is on FISA abuse and other matters. The other one is on manipulation of intelligence for political purposes. Manipulation of intelligence for political purposes, I think, goes up to the very top, because it's Obama who orders the new intelligence community assessment mm-hmm. in December of 2016 after the election. So clearly he knew what Brennan was going to do. They cooked the books, and the president had to at least be somewhat witting of that. Now, whether or not, you know, he knew it was going to be fraudulent, I don't know. On the FISA abuse, we don't know. I mean, that's harder to prove at this point.
What have you seen? What have you seen in your position and had the opportunity to look at that I haven't, that people in the public haven't seen? What's out there that we're going to be made aware of at some point?
Well, what should happen, the IG report is now done on FISA abuse. So what really needs to happen is all of those, the FISA, as much of them as possible need to be made public. There were 4 of them, applications. And then there are multiple documents that also need to be released that were evidence that was used in the FISA or evidence in some cases that was not used. So evidence that I would call exculpatory evidence. So I think those are the things that need to be declassified. And so that there's, I think at a minimum, you know, a lot of people ask, what's going to be the grand finale of all this? What do I think?
Yeah. What's the bottom line?
What does success look like from, you know, what do we need at a minimum?
Great question.
What we need at a minimum is pure 100% transparency. So people can look back and say, okay, Comey did this, McCabe did that. They really did lie about the FISA. Here's the evidence they withheld from the FISA court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we need at a minimum. Now, my preference would be for people to really be held accountable and to, you know, for there to be a prosecution of one or more individuals, which I think they can do. But the conspiracy will be a little difficult. And then I also expect people to use their capability civilly to sue in under the civil statutes in this mm-hmm. country, you know, which is what I'm doing. And I think there are a lot of people that were involved in this who had their rights violated, that the law was broke, and they need to take their cases to court.
When you hear the stories of people like George Papadopoulos, mm-hmm. who, in writing his book and appearing in numerous places, says it was all a setup now. Looking back, I mean, he was being baited. Here's the bait, here's the bait, here's the bait. Finally, is he going to take it? What's going to happen? Was it a conspiracy that ran all the way through that started before July of 16 when they said it officially started? Probably much earlier than that. I mean, conspiracy theorists, you know, get dismissed a lot. And this is a complicated, far-reaching conspiracy. Mm-hmm. The way you've explained it, the way we've seen it come out in the reports from Bob Mueller, from Michael Horowitz thus far, more to come. I mean, it'll be the biggest conspiracy in American history, won't it?
Yeah, well, I think it's past that up. It's blown that out of the water, right? Like, no one would ever think of using the FBI, Department of Justice, our intelligence capability and our assets and turn them against a political campaign. So, boom, that's blown out of the water. This is the biggest political scandal in U.S. history by far. And arguably, it's how countries fall, right?
Sure.
Number one, they don't accept an election result. And then they try to use their intelligence services to overturn the election result. I mean, that's what happens in many third world countries. I mean, there's a long history of it.
So let me ask you this. The role, I just use the New York Times embarrassing themselves again today with the Kavanaugh story that was a non-story, bombshell, that they have to go back and correct and so forth. But the media in this country, running shotgun, basically, for the Democrat Party, putting out these stories, covering these stories, giving life to stories that turned out to be completely bogus time and time again.
Yeah.
What's the culpability of people like MSNBC, NBC News as a whole, CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post, all of them?
Well, only if they get sued. They have to be sued for slander and defamation. And so there's only so, look, I've been a big defender of the Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. But at the end of the day, he has to file cases in civil court for defamation. Plain and simple, he's got to do it. And look, I understand it's a tough place to be because, you know, he's got a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. He probably doesn't want to do it. But, you know, I didn't want to do it either. But we have to do it. It goes back to what I said earlier. If you don't use every tool in the toolbox, you can't beat the Socialist Democratic Party. This is not the Democratic Party of old, okay? You know, this is not the party from, you know, this is the people in the 60s that they basically booted out after they lost the 72 election, okay? And now this is like all of that in the 60s on steroids. And in fact, it's many of the people who grew up in the 60s now running for president. Now they're mainstream, coupled with like extremists that you have here in your state.
Real extremists.
Real extremists.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that. I want to cover a couple of the topics before we go today, but let's talk about the squad and how far they are. Rashida Tlaib here in Michigan. Ilhan Omar, who doesn't seem to understand what her remarks about 9/11 mean, or she does know exactly what she's doing and what they mean. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about the so-called squad?
So I don't know. I don't know any of them personally. I only see what they say, you know, in the press.
You're not hanging out?
So no, they don't invite me to their parties. Not that I would want to go anyway, but I think what you look, I mean, to be this extreme to where you're calling, you know, I mean, what they're talking about with Israel is just wild. It's just wild. You know, you can argue about, you know, what happened, you know, after World War II, and, you know, was there some land that, you know, belonged to certain families or didn't? But, you know, that's long past us now. Okay. This has long been set policy. You have a country that is there, okay? You have a country, Israel, and they've been willing over and over again to give the Palestinians the right to, you know, their own homeland, give them their own country. There's been lots of options that have been put on the table. And every time they blow it, and every time they waste money, they steal money. And so to have people that not only get elected, but that are, you know, promoting the boycott of not only a country but of a religion is something that we haven't seen since, you know, Adolf Hitler in Germany.
Let's stay in the Middle East a little bit. The president just tweeted a short time ago, the evidence all pointing to Iran for these attacks on the oil production facilities in Saudi Arabia that cut half of their production, which equates to 2.5% of the world output. It has raised oil prices overnight by 18%. Mm-hmm. It'll have impact across this country, no more so than in California, where you pay entirely too much for gasoline to begin with. But the point is, it looks like there is this escalation going on. John Bolton is out, a guy who probably had advocated for a stronger response to Iran. Where do we stand on this? What are your thoughts about it? Do we retaliate? Is it a measured response? How long does this go on before we respond to this Iranian regime if they are in fact behind these attacks?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that they are behind these attacks, but one of the things you have to do, like we talked about earlier, you have to get the evidence together. So, sure. You know, we need to see, you know, what evidence they have, you know, what our intelligence agencies will have plenty of evidence that you then build, and then you decide what the appropriate response is. I mean, that's the bottom line. But this is, you know, I think it also shows that the president's maximum pressure campaign, I think is what they call it, is working, right? So you're seeing the Iranians, you know, used to ship over 1 million barrels a day. Now they're down to just a few hundred thousand. They're a petro state. You know, they make all of their money off of oil. They're the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, we need to figure out what happened, who was behind it, and then how do you respond?
A couple more questions and that's it. We got through all this interview. I didn't ask about Donald Trump one time. All of this to cover without asking about the president himself. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I was going to bet, I would say Donald Trump would carry Michigan by more than the 11,000 votes he did in 2016 because of these far-left policies of abortion on demand until a child's born, open borders, taking health care away from millions of people, including union people here in Michigan. I don't think he'll carry California, your state, but as you travel around, you go to many places, how do you gauge the election? I mean, we're a ways out, I get it, but how do you feel about it?
Well, this president, you know, has instincts that I think most people that have been in politics for a long time don't have, right? So he knew from his gut that there was something wrong with the hollowing out of manufacturing in the steel industry across the Midwest. Now, you know, me from California, I never really, you know, it's hard for me to understand that, but he understood that. Mm-hmm. And so, but not only has he went in and campaigned on it, but he actually is doing something about it. Right. I mean, we've heard every president since Reagan say, we're going to get tough on China. Well, he's actually doing it. He says, we're going to redo NAFTA. He actually has done it, waiting for it to pass in the House and Senate. So the one thing you get with this president is, you know, he's very transparent. What you see is what you get. And I think you're right. I think as people begin to see how extreme they're getting, you mentioned a lot of issues that they're very extreme on. But one thing you didn't mention that I can't imagine goes over very well here in Michigan, and that is the government and a presidential candidate advocating for the government to come out and pick up your guns. I mean, I can't imagine that goes over very well in Michigan.
Not well at all.
In any part of the Midwest. So this is extreme, extreme socialist policies. Their aim is for one-party rule. I've seen it in California. You know, they took over everything. They took over the school systems, the universities, the government. They used the public employee unions to funnel money into their campaign. And, you know, and they've really, it's a one-party socialist communist system in California. And what you see is the hollowing out of the state. So small businesses don't try to start a business in California. They're leaving to start businesses elsewhere. So you have kind of the mega rich that are controlled by the, you know, tech companies, what I call the tech oligarchs. And then you've got the public employee unions that are essentially their, you know, kind of their army, which in it's kind of circular firing squad because you've got, or, you know, circular fundraising because you've got taxes come into the government, go to the legislature and the governor, they give them to the public employees. And then the Democratic Party harvests that money to run their political party to then raise taxes. And it goes round and round. So California is a very powerful state in terms of the economy is big. We've got oil, we've got, you know, weather, which means tourism and all sorts of great things. We've got, you know, old institutions there. But we also have one party corrupt rule. And I don't think the rest of America wants that.
I don't think so either. I think you're an important voice and one of the last things holding that back right now. I'll give you the last word. How long do you intend to do this? You still seem to have plenty of energy. You're going strong. A lot of your colleagues have retired. That's why I ask. I'll give you the last word.
Well, the main thing I want, the main thing why I'm here in Michigan is we have seats that we can get back in this state. There's two or three seats that we could win. Tim Walberg is a great member of Congress, very solid, very stable guy, and we need more guys like him. And Michigan, of course, as you said, is one of the states that's going to be up for grabs. So you know, I'm if people ask me to come out and help them, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because, you know, my goal is, number one, to make sure this president gets reelected. Number two, make sure that we get Pelosi out and the squad out and Republicans back in charge so that we can, you know, get back to just, you know, even if you don't like what the Republicans always do, at least we don't do crazy things, right? So we may not be perfect, but we don't do crazy things. And then I'll just say, I mean, I want to make sure that justice is done to the people who tried to use the intelligence agencies and turn them against the Republican Party and tried to overthrow an election. That's my number one goal. I'm going to stay around until I can get that completed.
Great conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice to see you.